Settled in heaven, we have been taught, Lord, that it has pleased you that by the preaching of the gospel, men will be saved. He said, "We shall not live by bread alone, but we will live by every single word that proceeds from your mouth." And the words that you have spoken will not return to you void, but it will accomplish everything for which you have sent it out. We live by your word, O Lord. Please, as we look into the perfect law of liberty, Father, I pray that you give to us the grace to receive from it your grace, O Lord. Help us not to be hearers alone, deceiving ourselves, but the doers of the works. Pray that the sweet spirit of the Lord will interpret this everlasting word. Kingdoms and kings have passed away, but your word has remained the same. No matter the state of our minds, Father, I pray that your word will meet us where we are. And in the name of Jesus and your kingdom will be established. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good morning again, everybody. We thank the Lord for the day. We thank him for his spirit among us. And above all, we celebrate Jesus. I'd like to open by just saying, but for the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the Church of God. Sister Jackie, we prayed for you. Happy birthday. You missed your birthday song. We're here for Jesus. But for the Lord Jesus Christ, we wouldn't be here. The Lord Jesus said that many people will like to be Christians. We like to hear the things we hear, but they will not. The sorrow of that is not yet obvious. That will become obvious on that great day, the day of the marriage feast of the Lamb, when there will be a great separation. That is when the blessedness of the gospel will appear to us. And the very sad thing is that there's no do-over. When Jesus comes and separates the sheep from the goats, there will be no more time to repent. There will be no do-over. Every mistake you make in life, there's another opportunity. But to fall to the left side of the gospel, there's no do-over. It's a dreadful day, my brothers and sisters. It's so dreadful that the merciful and compassionate God continued to move that day. He said he did not wish that any should perish. The Bible talks about that day as the great day when the Lord will judge the world by the Lord Jesus, by his Son. Many, many questions have been answered in the history of mankind, but only one question is necessary. Where do you stand relative to Jesus Christ? Did you go to university? It has consequences. Did you get educated? Has consequences. Are you hardworking or lazy? Has consequences. Every question has dire consequences. Well, not dire, some form of consequences. But what did you do about my son who I sent into the world and he's preached all over the world has eternal consequences? And that's what we're going to talk about today, very briefly. Anika, do you have my song, "Oh for a Thousand Tongues," too? I said I was going to prompt. I didn't know where I was. If we don't have it queued up, there's that song, "Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing My Great Redeemer's Praise, the Glories of Our God, our King and King, the Honors." You don't need to do it if you don't have it. What I like is us to see is the second and the third stanza. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoners free. His name can set the foulest clean or thereabout. His name avails for me. His blood, thank you, avails for me. I pray that no matter what we're dealing with this morning, that we'll be in Jesus dealing with it. And that's the question we come to church to resolve. We have been told in the past few weeks that what will it profit a man if he were to gain his soul, he's gained the whole world and to lose his soul? Or what can a man do in exchange for his soul? So with that in mind, while if that song comes up, Aisha, let's open our Bibles to John chapter 3. And I'd just like to talk about the doctrine that we start our Christian walk with. Or if we did not, a conversation that all of us must start our Christian walks with. A statement from the Lord Jesus Christ that I think we have to remind ourselves. We read the whole of John 3 this morning. But I'll just read a slight portion of it. And I pray the Holy Spirit will grant us understanding. Say, there was a man of the Pharisees. His name was Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night, and he said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher and you come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And once this man finished speaking these couple of sentences, amazingly, what the Lord Jesus said to this man is, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Please repeat after me. Most assuredly, I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This was to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a teacher of the Jews. Let me give you a slight background to this. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. We'll come back here, but I'd like to read a few verses from Romans 10. What Paul said. Remember, this man was a teacher of the Jews. He was a ruler. He was an educated man. He was learned in the word of God. He knew the Bible of his time inside out. He was a godly man in the way we looked upon godly men, religious man in the way we looked upon religion. If anybody should know about salvation, it was this man. In fact, down the line, you'll find I was a member of the Sanhedrin, the ruling class, religious ruling class in Israel. Further down, when you go to chapter 19 of John, we'll talk about it. You'll discover that this man was also a very influential man. He was one of the few men who can go to the Romans and together with Joseph of Arimathea demand the body of Jesus. He had audience, so I would assume he was a man of status, a man of knowledge, a godly man, and he did not know. Paul wrote about people in this man's state in Romans 10. He said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have the zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Do you understand? Ramame, do you understand? I'm speaking a little bit of Christianese, right? I'll break it down a little bit. In the world right now and in the church right now, there's plenty of zeal for God. If you read that Romans 10 further down, Paul was saying that the Jews, he was using his own people, the Israelites and the Jews as an example, who had an established religion. He said they were seeking after God, but not after knowledge. He said they are zealous. They are really doing this Christianity thing. I'm now applying it to us. But in their case, they were following the laws of Moses, but not according to knowledge. He said they were seeking their own righteousness, not the righteousness that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Nicodemus was like this. The world is full of religions, full of good people. who are zealously godly people. They are seeking for their God in the sun and the moon. Some are seeking for their God all over the world. They are doing their best. Hindus, Buddhists, Muslims, good people, but not according to the knowledge of God. In the case of the Jews, according to Paul, they were seeking from their God in the teachings of Paul, of Moses. And Nicodemus was astute. They are Buddhist priests today. Wonderful fathers, wonderful mothers. You have the idea that God has called us to be wonderful parents and wonderful people. Yes, but that's not how the highest calling of God. There are many wonderful parents, wonderful students, wonderful children, wonderful families, wonderful husbands, wonderful wives who are not Christians. Not many. Just wonderful people. But we are talking about how to gain salvation here. So Nicodemus was like this. Was like what Paul was talking about. Let's go back to John chapter 4. But when he came to the Lord, you find out that this man came to the Lord at night. So here is one person who has been sneaking and trying to know the truth. And he saw something in Jesus Christ that told him that this is the truth, but he did not have the courage to come by day. But he was seeking. I bear witness that they have zeal for God. I pray that we will not have zeal outside of the knowledge of God. And what that means is that our zeal should be aligned with the truth of God. And Lord said to this man, you must be born again. I would just like to pause and say, no matter what it is that you've heard, no matter how much work you've done for Christ, no matter how much work you plan to do for Christ, no matter what else, what you know, what you did not know, what visions, what prophecies, whatever you have done, let us pause here. You must be born again. Some people will shrug and say, of course. No, not of course. There are many times, many churches, many places where they say, once you say the sinner's prayer, you are saved. The word we say, once you are baptized, you are saved. Once you take the baptismal class, you are saved. Once you attend church regularly, you are saved. Once you are ordained a pastor, you are saved. But Jesus says, you must be born again. And he was talking to someone that was a thorough teacher of the word of God.
What's the process of born again?
You are jumping the ship. We are going to get there next week. I want to stop here by saying you must be born and not me. Brothers and sisters, no matter what denomination, no matter what abomination you belong to, no matter how much the pastor hates or likes you, no matter how many times you've preached, no matter, you must be. No matter how long you have been a Christian, this man has been a Jew probably longer than you. And yet he must be. There are too many things happening in church that we forget this simple message. The man said, hello, Jesus. You are a wonderful teacher. Definitely, you are the true Son of God. There are many wonderful things happening. Oh, I know that God must be with you. And the Lord just said, cut that out. Hear me, assuredly, you must be. You dare not die without being born again. My message this morning to you is I just want you to leave knowing you must be born again. Someone should open, please, to the book of Amos. Let me tell you what Jesus feels about most of the things we do in church today. Someone should go open to Amos chapter 5 and start reading from verse 21. Amos, the prophet, God sent this prophet to talk to the Jews. And the Jews were a sign and a symbol of the people of God in those days, right? So you can imagine that God has some things to say about the book of Amos chapter 5.
21.
Let's start reading from verse 21. Yes.
Amos 5:21. It says, I hate, I despise your feasts.
Wait. These feasts were offered to the Lord. He commanded that these feasts should be offered. He's talking about their Passover feasts. He's talking about all the feasts of unleavened bread and leavened bread, the feast of the tabernacle, the feast of the booths. These were feasts that he himself said you must perform. And fast forward, at some point, something happened in Israel. And these people were given a lot of feasts. And what God had to say was, Sister Shade,
I hate.
Can you imagine God saying, I hate? That's a little strong. Rumkey, what's happening? Why are you here? Oh, okay. That thing. Okay. All right. I hate. Can you ever imagine God saying, I hate? It's not a God-like talk, right? Am I right? It's not Christian to say, I hate. I hate. I like to point out areas of scripture that you're not used to looking at. I like to point out the language of God that you're not used to hearing. I like us to examine. Jesus said, for man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Not some words. Every single word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Not the ones we're used to hearing. Not the doctrines of grace alone. There are some words that we no longer heard. Hold that thought, Sister Shade. 17th century England. I just read a book. The Church of God was dead. They were no longer used to hearing sound doctrine. They had mighty cathedrals, learned men, archbishops, bishops. The church owned dynasties and monarchies were Christians. And yet none of them knew until the 18th century about the doctrine of being born again. They passed a law in 1662 and threw out all the non-conformist preachers. That's how come you had John Bunyan with his Pilgrim's Progress. He was jailed in England. He was a minister. So for decades, the whole of England was in darkness. And this doctrine was in John chapter 3, until the Lord brought the revivalists of the 18th century. Men like John Wesley, George Whitefield, they began to, these were Oxford men, learned Christian men. They began to preach again what you would think was a simple doctrine of you must be born again. And guess what they did to them? The church cast them out. So they went to the streets, and the prophecy of Jesus came to pass that when they reject you in the citadels, then the beggars by the wayside, that was how the revival started. They were teaching the power of God that it's possible for God to turn you into a new person. 5:17, 2 Corinthians, if any man be in Christ, he's a brand new creature. He's not the old creature remade. He's not the old creature remanufactured. He's not the old man retrained. He's a brand new creature. By the power of God, all things have passed away. This is what God promises us, not some remodeling. In Jesus, there's life. There's light. That light is the light of men. What have you come to Jesus for? What are your expectations in the Savior? Since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and people who are really serious are taking it by force. You must be born again. I have just about 7 minutes more and we'll continue next week. Because I want to pause at this time and just, we'll answer that question next week, Bradley, or after the service. But I just want you to know, Sister Shadi, didn't I pause you on hate? Let's finish reading it. God says, I hate services. I hate your drumming. I hate your songs. There's a reason why he said it. We'll get there. I hate your gathering. Hate. Please continue to read.
I despise your feast
days. Oh my goodness. How can God despise anything? Especially a holy thing. I hate your feast. I despise the days of your feast. And me, myself, in fact, I've punished you before for not doing it. But now I despise it. It's no longer fun for me. Please continue to read.
And I do not savor your sacred assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings.
You are going
offerings.
To pass, Sister Shade. What are sacred assemblies? This is a sacred assembly. This is holy ground. We're standing on holy ground. Those are sacred assemblies. And what is the word the Lord uses? What does the word server mean? I don't enjoy the Sunday gatherings anymore. We think you should be grateful that we're at least, please come to church. God is really, really looking forward to your sitting down in church. No, there must be a purpose to it. He only enjoys it under certain conditions. These are strong words. Please continue.
So you offer me burnt offerings and your grain offerings. I will not accept them. Nor will I regard your fasting.
I'll fight you. You are going too quickly. Though you offer me tithes and offerings. Though you offer me tithes and offerings. I'm not impressed anymore. Even your communion doesn't make sense to me anymore. Your routines, endless drooling, mindless services, thoughtless songs, baseless preaching. I hate it. I have no delight in it. Continue, Sister Shadi.
Nor will I regard your fattened peace offerings. Take away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not hear.
No. The Lord is talking to our entire generation. All of us. Because there's this sense that when we do church, God is glad. But he doesn't want us to do church. He wants us to be church. God doesn't want us to do church. He wants us to be church. Please continue.
For I will not hear the melody of your stringed instruments, but will let justice run down like water.
No, Sister Shadi. May the Lord not reject our praise, our tithe, our offering, our preaching. Nicodemus' preaching was not acceptable to God. Was as if the Lord said, keep quiet, you must be born again. Lord, you are such a fantastic God. You things you do. You know, he was buttering the Lord. And it was as if the Lord said, just cut it out. You must be born again. And Amos said, you are doing all these things that you read in the Bible that you must do. But God hates, despises, abhors, will not accept. Those are strong words. But what did this want? What did the Lord want? He said what?
Did you not? But let justice run down like water and righteousness like a mighty.
That's what God wants. Justice like water. Righteousness in all our pews. Righteousness. Righteousness in our hearts. Righteousness in our homes. Righteousness. That's the evidence. That's the situation that God wants. Because Jesus has come to establish righteousness, not a religion. Okay. Twenty-five is interesting, but we won't go there. We read a passage yesterday in Romans 5:8 that says, "For God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." I want you to go away thinking about this. You must be born again. Every adventure that is deep and real in Christ starts from the question that Brother Aliu asked. How shall I then be saved? Let's go back. I don't think we should leave this hall without answering that. Let's go to John 3:16 and read that. The most famous. Ibrahim, that's one of your memory verses, right? I'm not going to put you on the spot. You haven't memorized it, have you? Okay, I'm going to find you. He says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. We're going to talk more about that. Salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not in a religion. It's in a person. You must be born again. Do you want to be born again? Are you born again? Because we're in church, we cannot take it for granted that as we're sitting here before the Lord, we're all born again. Let me tell you briefly as we close who Nicodemus was. I've already done that. In John chapter 3, Nicodemus was sneaking by night. Some of us can only have our Christian fellowship when our regular friends are not there. He was that kind of man. This man that Jesus was talking to. A secret lover of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord said, you must be born again. The next time we saw Nicodemus was in John 7. He was with his friends. And his conscience was with Christ. You could see this man struggling with his conscience. And in John chapter 7, you see him making a case for Christ. He said, he was telling his co-elders and rulers that, look, don't judge this Jesus before you hear him. Our laws do not allow us to judge him before you hear him. So you could see where this man's heart was, but he really could not commit to Jesus. He was still a secret friend. In fact, one of his colleagues answered him when you read in John 7. He said, have any of the rulers believed in him? And remember, he was one of the rulers. So that is to tell you, he had not confessed. He was not born again. He had not confessed Jesus to his household, to his friends, and to his workmates. John 7. You don't see him when Christ was being judged. You don't see him when the Lord was resurrected. The next time we saw him at the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ in John 17. With herbs preparing his body. Are you the kind of Christian that loves to dress the church and be active in church, but you're not going to be born again? This man always liked the ceremonies, right? But he wasn't born again. Are you a Nicodemus Christian? Are you born again? Has Jesus touched your life? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily in his grace each hour? Are you washed in the blood of Jesus? This is the gospel, my brothers and sisters. It's the gift that Christ has brought to you. It's the biggest gift of all. If in your heart, if you look at that Romans 10 we read, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and with your mouth you confess that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The gospel is like a small seed, but it's the most important thing you will ever receive. Another scripture says, test yourself whether you're in faith. As we close, the greatest tragedy in the world will be churchgoers who will not rise up with Jesus on the last day. It will be. You see many hardworking church people, but their lives do not reflect that they are born again. They perform all the feasts, all the ceremonies, all the activities. In fact, there was one of them that followed Jesus on evangelism up and down. His name was Judas, and yet he wasn't born again. Next week, you will see what it means to be born again. How Jesus described it. Seek to be a new person. Don't seek the feasts. Don't seek the activities. Don't seek the validation of men. Don't seek the validation of the church. Save yourself from the wrath that is to come. Seek only Jesus, the Son of God. Let us pray. If you have more questions about this, please, after the service, see any of the elders and the workers in church. Thank you, Father, for your word is a two-edged sword. It pierces, it puts asunder the soul and the marrow, the bone and the spirit. It discerns the thoughts and the intentions of the human heart. All things are open and naked before you with whom we have to deal. Father, as this word is sent forth, I pray that it will heal your people and raise them up. I pray, Lord, that every cloud of religion, anything that is not real before you will be stripped away in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, we'll be one of the few. Oh, Lord, who we count the cost, deny ourselves, pick up our cross and follow you. Thank you, Lord, for this moment. Bless my brothers and my sisters with your peace, Lord. I pray that the Holy Ghost will walk in their hearts to bring your purpose to pass. I pray that none of us be complacent. I pray that until we lay hold on this eternal life with joy, Lord, that we will not rest. Help us to seek you totally with our body, our mind, our spirit, and our souls in Jesus' name. Pray none of us will be deceived. None of us will say peace, peace when there's danger. I pray until we are fully persuaded by the Lord himself, we will not let you go. Like Jacob, until you bless us, we wouldn't let you go. Let the word of truth create a new man in each one of us. Is anyone here who has not experienced the great rebirth? But I pray, Lord, that you give them this experience. As this gospel goes forth, I pray, Father, that you erase the dead. Make alive in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.